Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Wait a minute. I know them, you know.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me, blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale, like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written. And you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I
told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me. And he wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, a.k.a. Dicko. A.k.a. Dicko. 3 times. And I'm big to them. I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl. The one you heard about. You fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music
Thank you,
is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening, good evening, welcome to another T-A-Z production on Blog Talk Radio. This is Night Court 6, the Z appellate court. We'll go through current events to give the verdicts of keep it real for innocent or got to go down for guilty. And we will also just give our own opinion on different current events that we touched tonight. We're waiting on our guest, which is Tashelle Wiltz, supposed to call in. But nevertheless, I have Music Maven, Blog Talk personality in the house. How you doing, Maven?
I'm doing really well, and hello, everybody out there.
And also, I have our co-host, D Lovely, a.k.a. DJ, on the line.
Hey.
How are you doing, DJ?
I'm doing great tonight. Looking forward to this one.
Now, Music Maven's been through this, and once Tashelle calls in, I will directly get right on it with her as far as what she does. But Music Maven has done Night Court before, and the rules are simple. It's like Night Court. I'm the judge, and I guess I'll have the last say. But normally I do go with my guests on what they say. The docket number for tonight is the first three numbers are the month. The next three numbers are the date for the day of the year. And the year is the last two numbers. So for the month is 010. Day is 295. And year, of course, is 09. The docket number for tonight is 010-295-09-01, and this is the first case for 01. Humbled Obama accepts Nobel Prize in a development that seems to leave him as stunned as his critics. President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for pledging to rid the world of nuclear weapons and his efforts to boast international diplomacy. My question for the court is, did he deserve this award? Was it too soon? Music Maven.
You know, I'm going to say that keep it real on this one, because it's been a long time since our country's been able to stand up with pride and have people around the world respect us. And I hope this early accolade gives him, gives President Obama the motivation he needs to keep going in the right direction.
So you agree with it? He does deserve it?
Yeah, I think so. Keeping it real.
DJ.
I'm going to have to go with the same. Keeping it real. You know, for the most part, I believe that we've got to start somewhere. And with the state of our country, if we don't stand up right now and start standing for something, then we are simply going to fall apart. We've got to have our leader not be afraid to stand up to other countries, some countries that obviously don't respect the fact that we have a leader that is of African American descent, and they're offended. So mostly we've got to be in a place where we can show that we are standing up and we believe in something. And we've got to start by believing in our president.
So he does deserve this award in your view?
Absolutely. We're keeping it real.
Thank you. Also, we have Tashelle Wiltz in the house, 718. What's up?
Hey, I'm good. What's going on? How are you?
Everything is going good. As you know, we're doing the Night Court thing, and this is the first case. And after we get done with this first case, then we're going to ask you to give your information on what you do and how you do it. The first question for the first case was Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize. And basically it was, do you think he deserved this award? Was it too soon? What's your opinion on that?
Wow, that's a deep question. You know, I was pretty much amazed that he did receive the Nobel Peace Prize, but I thought it was, you know, really cool. Additionally, I thought it was like really soon, but I'm really proud for the brother. I'm happy that he did get it.
Okay. Also, meet Music Maven, who's on the line, and DJ on the line. This is
Hello.
Tashelle.
How you doing?
We're all here.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Well, Tashelle, I'm going to introduce you as author. You are run femmix.com.
Yes.
You do poetry too?
You know, I started out as a poet.
I didn't know what kind of music you got about 20. So I'm going to let you do it. Explain exactly what you do, and then I'll just touch on a couple of points.
Well, I'm author of a new inspirational hip-hop novel called Amanda's Ray, and it's for teens. And I run a site called Femmix.com, which is a site dedicated to female music producers, DJs, and MCs. So, you know, basically repping, you know, women in the music industry, those who are making beats, you know, inside their house, in the basement, in the studio, that type of thing.
That's cool. I went to the site Femmix, that's FEMMIXX.com. I went to the site, I've seen you had a pre-PRI. I talked to her before, and we tried to connect to get her on the show, like, man, years back, about 2 or 3 years ago. And I've been knowing her for a minute, met her on MySpace, and then actually talked to her, and she's phenomenal. You were also in Above the Rim?
You know what? That was, like, my first kind of, like, taste of Hollywood. Yeah, I was an extra in Above the Rim, you know, back in the day when I was 17. So it was interesting just to, you know, be behind the scenes and see, like, what really goes on behind the scenes. So it was a great learning experience for me.
And you written for magazines, The Source, by One World Magazine, or is that One World?
One World Magazine. Russell Simmons used to own it. Yeah.
Okay. What did you do? You just wrote features and...
It's crazy because the way I really started was, you know, as a poet, spoken word artist, and, you know, this is, like, really, like, 10 years ago. I can't believe how, you know, time really flies. So pretty much, you know, I really love to write all types of things, and I really did want to be a journalism major when I was an A&T, but I ended up changing it to, you know, straight English, so... you know, I just decided, like, you know, I want to go ahead and follow my dreams as far as, you know, writing different articles, things of that nature. And I pretty much got my feet wet. I got my first article with The Source, and it was a feature, and it was about, you know, the color complex and hip-hop back, you know, like in the late 90s. And then that led to, you know, Vibe and One World. So I was really... you know, deeply into, like, the urban hip-hop journalism. Yeah. But
this is an extra question. You ever spit some lines, though? You know, spit some balls?
I really did. You know, as far as, like, when it came to, like, spoken word, you know, it was, you know, more like hip-hop, you know, spoken
right.
word, you know. So I really was along the veins of, you know, everything that did deal with, you know, hip-hop, you know, in that sense. So, and the crazy thing, I've been on hiatus for, like, so long when it came to performing. So it seems like, you know, my career kind of, like, morphed, you know, from one thing to the next, from, like, you know, spoken word, where I basically, you know, spoke about, you know, community issues on things we go through as a people, you know, to the youth, you know, just to relevant things of our time, you know. So
you was more or less, like, positive, very positive thing.
Yeah, you know, and pretty much just really sharing, you know, life issues that I've been through, just life in general, you know. And I just always felt that when we go through stuff, you know, as people, we should be able to learn some type of life experiences through it so that others, you know, won't have to necessarily experience the things that we did in that sense. So, yeah, everything's a learning experience. I just take it that way.
Mm-hmm. And you're a high school teacher, too?
Yeah, I'm a high school teacher.
I'm done. We are done. Wait a minute. He's amazing. DJ. She did everything. I'm just, after a while, I'm going to be like, hey, you work with President Obama, right?
Oh, it's true. I am a high school teacher. I've been teaching at New York City Public High School for like 6 years, you know. And it, you know, it was really crazy because when I went to A&T, you know, I went to North Carolina A&T Aggie Pride for those Aggies out there. And
right.
I was so built on, you know, just becoming a writer, you know, and it was so crazy because after I graduated, seriously, I had, you know, all these people coming up to me. It's like God was trying to tell me something. You know, like in Color Purple when they were singing that song. But it's like God was trying to tell me something. All these people kept coming up. It's like, Tichelle, you know, you really need to teach. You need to teach. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Everywhere I turn around, people's like, you need to teach. I was working at the Child Development Lab on A&T's campus. I remember one day I got to work a little bit early, and the head boss was there. So, you know, everybody was a little bit shook, you know, but she was like, you know, but she was really cool. I got there early. She took me out to breakfast, and we had a conversation, and she was like, what do you want to do after graduation? I was like, I just want to write. You know, she was like, you're missing your calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was like, you should be a teacher. And it was just right after that, everybody kept telling me that I needed to be a teacher. So, hey, you can run all you want when God has a, you know, a calling for you to do something, you know, you're going to do it. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you also directed Lady Beatmakers Volume 1, which won an Impact of Women in Hip Hop Award.
Yeah, that was really great. You know, it happened... you know, over like a year ago, I directed and produced a documentary on female music producers because it's always been my question, like, you know, where are all the female music producers? And my partner at the time, we both founded FemX.com because he was a, you know, a DJ producer. You know, I was a journalist, a spoken word artist. And we just had this question. You know, I was up in Virginia. We just kept asking each other, like, where are all, you know, where are all the female music producers? And all we could really think of at the time, you know, was like a Missy Elliott or, you know, like Alicia Keys. And so, and honestly, I just got to a point where I just got really tired of pitching article ideas to a lot of my editors, you know. And they're like, oh, here comes Tichelle again, another woman's story. Yeah, okay. but so I just got to the point I wanted to start my own, and we started FemX.com. And from there, we just pretty much started, you know, seeking and searching female music producers. And our first female music producer we ever found, she was located in the UK, and her name was Miss Educated. And then from there, I just felt like a natural progression, like, okay, I need to get this on screen. So I found, you know, five female music producers who have, you know, different spots in the game, in a sense, you know. We
right.
have one, you know, she's been in the game, I mean, ever since, you know, like the 90s. She's worked with people from Mary J. Blige, you know, Tippae LaBelle, that's Josie Carr. And then we found another one, TC, she was a violinist. I mean, my goodness, she's so talented and diverse, who, you know, from Brooklyn like myself. So, you know, it's just really putting women's stories out there and, you know, letting people know that we can do things, you know, just as good as the guys, you know. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and my last question, though, because you sent me a little tidbit of the story, Amanda Ray. Where can I get this at? And also give your information out so people can hit it up on the MySpace page.
You can go straight to FemX.com, and you can click on the book, Amanda's Ray, and it'll take you right there. Or you could go to Amazon.com or BlackBooksPlus.com. And also, it should be available right now, you know, at Barnes & Noble's, you know, as well. So pretty much wherever, you know, books are sold, and you could get it online. You know, FemX.com is definitely, you know, one shop spot where you can get it at as well. Yeah.
Don't worry, because I'm going to have you back on after I purchase the book and
okay.
do a quick read and know it inside and out better than you.
Yeah.
And I because I write books as well, and I do music as well, so that's
okay.
why I was like, man, I was tripping on what you did there. DJ Music
yeah.
Maven, do you have any questions for Tichelle Wilkes?
I think you covered everything.
I tried to. Yeah, I tried to.
You
sounds like I was on
the
train ride. A journey.
Fun.
We're back in session. Court is back in session. The case number 202. Yahoo lap dancers make wrong moves. Yahoo has apologized for its use of scantily clad lap dancers known as hack girls to entertain mainly male software
developers, and engineers in Taiwan. Photos and videos showing the women pretty much throwing themselves on the men were initially posted on photo sharing site Flickr, which is F-L-I-C-K-R. Yahoo has stated they apologized and said it won't happen again. This was a hack event designed to give developers to learn about Yahoo's programming and development. My question is, which is simple, do you guys disagree with this? Or I mean, it's very simple. Is this right or wrong? Was this professionally handled? They had a hack convention in Taiwan, Yahoo did. I'm going to start with Tayshia. Just tell me.
Totally wrong. I'm like, come on.
That's
not professional at all. Seriously, come on. You know.
No. All right, I'm talking to a whole court of women.
That's
yeah, really. I don't know if you really meant
I usually write my answers down, but I already can know what this answer is going to be about. But I'm gonna ask for the opinion anyway, just to get your opinion. DJ.
Yeah, I just find this to be a little bit offensive, if nothing else. I'm not sure. A hacker convention, and the only way to do it is to post it online. I'm just a little confused. Nobody had paper or, just something they could do in-house. It's Taiwan, right? They were in Taiwan?
Yeah, it seemed like they were just having a reason to go somewhere to have some fun.
Yeah, but they would have chosen a place like Taiwan where obviously the level of male to female interaction is always more suited towards gentlemen's pleasure. So I would have imagined if they wanted to have a conference, and I'm using air quotes right now, that might not have been the place to have that particular conference. So I'm gonna
Music Maven.
Completely. I think this is ridiculous.
Oh boy, got to go down. What are they thinking? How desperate can they be? I mean, like, really? Are they trying to beat Google, but get around it in some back door, for God's sake? Really? They might as well have invited a porn star, for God's sakes, and just forgotten about the hacking.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, I mean, what was the point of the convention?
Based on the pictures, it looks like they might have invited a few porn stars.
Yeah.
We all agree it's got to go down. I'm going to talk to Music Maven now. Music Maven has been on the show and been on Night Court before. We've done this before. I just want you to explain to the listening audience what you do out there in Las Vegas, girl.
All right. Well, Las Vegas is a fun place to be. I own a company, or actually I own six companies, but the one I'm going to talk about is Rising Star Artists. What we do is public relations, marketing, and promotion for artists, musicians, independents, people that don't have a lot of money to spend and need exposure, because with 13 million tracks for sale online today, I think through September, only 3 million were sold, which left 10 million left unsold. So there's a lot of music out there that people don't know about, and it's because people, we talked about this before, in your living room, in your basement, wherever you're making your music, you just don't have a level playing field. It's just not tilted in your direction, so... my job is to create a buzz about you, get those press releases out there, get people to notice you, write blogs, that kind of thing. And personally, I have two books coming out. The first one is called Generation Free, How to Make Buying Music Cool Again. And that one is in the springtime sometime. I don't have an exact date. That'll be in, all the regular bookstores as well. And that's all about how to take the tools that the aggregators give you, like Reverb Nation or TuneCore, Amazon, CD Baby, all of those people that handle music, I go through a nice guide telling you how to use those things to your advantage and how not to duplicate your efforts. So if you can find one place that can propagate, probably a better choice than having to try to remember 14 or 15 different logins and different ways to do business online. And then the other book is going to be an ebook, which should be out, let me think, at the end of November, early December, and it's called Street Smart Music Marketing, and it's 7 hip tips to attract a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm up to.
Well, that's cool. DJ, you I know you're like, wow.
I am in a state of awe right now.
Now the next court case is 03. This is called Tweet and Eat. Starting at 11 a.m., this is why your fat Twitter account will begin Twittering the locations of the Treats Truck, Cupcake Shop, the Briscoe Truck, Waffles and Dean's, Cravings Truck, and I think it's Artesian Ice Cream Truck. Fans in turn will hunt them down to capture a photo of themselves eating a special item at each location. The first fan to do so for all 6 trucks will win a private food cart party of their choice for 25 friends, get a free copy of the book. They should then consider go for a brief jog. Meanwhile, the food truck with the most popular new gross items, that's what they call them, gross items, we'll have it featured on This Is Why You're Fat blog and make it a keeper on their menu for generations of gross food lovers to come. My question is, this kind of advertising, do you think this will work as far as getting all these different venues, people to come to eat at their different shops and locations? Do you think by using Twitter and advertising this will help increase revenues at their different businesses? I'm going to ask Music Maven first.
You know what? I think I'm going to keep it real on this one because it's really a creative idea.
Yeah.
And because it's so inexpensive, like if you were to, I don't know, be a muffin maker, and you wanted to let people know in your local area,
mm-hmm.
Where your truck's going to be, or, you know, wherever you're back, you know, the back of the SUV or whatever you're doing, I get more power to it because, you know, the more people that can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and see ways to earn money and make an honest living, I think I don't see the harm.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with it as long as it's done, like, in a tasteful way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is food. I guess it's going to be tasteful.
Yeah, you know. I'm not going to cry. I mean, you started talking about cupcakes and you know, and cookies and ice cream. I was like that. You know, it's making me hungry already. I'm
sorry.
It worked. It really did. Okay.
DJ.
Well, I agree. If it's done responsibly,
yeah,
it could work. I hope that it's not just cookies and cupcakes and things, you know, you're rushing from one place to eat this and eat that. I mean, then we're going to wind up on a different show. And then you're going to wind up on, you know, Biggest Loser or something because you're just eating all these unhealthy things. But if you're someone who's, you know, they've also got vegetables or they've got, you know, things that are made with healthy items or any of those, smoothies, you know, I could agree with that. But hopefully it's not just a bunch of processed sugar that's going to wind up, you know, ruining somebody's health trying to prove that they're a big follower of Twitter. And I just, you know, you've got to be really, really careful.
Well, this is, it's called This Is Why You're Fat Twitter account, so.
Well, I believe this is why they're fat. I agree.
Case number 4, Terry Woods, the author, of course. I think everybody knows who she is. What was supposed to be a night of celebration turned into humiliation when nightclub Soho denied them entrance, allegedly because they were black. She had a handful of white guests also. A $1 billion class action suit has been filed. Wood said her family and friends were left outside standing. In one text message that Woods received from the owner, he said he could not allow 300-pound girls into the club.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yes. Everything that I'm saying that might sound far-fetched, I found it on the net. It's really in the news. My question to the court is this right or wrong? If it's true, will Terry Woods win this case? I'm going to go with DJ first.
You know, if it's true, it certainly has possibility. I just think that it's really sad that that's the state we're in, that you determine someone's worth by how much they weigh. And if that is indeed the case, then this is just really a sad state of affairs. We've got so many things that are going on right now that are so much more important than a heavy woman being in a club. I just find this to be offensive.
Another offensive.
I'm still offended. So far, you've offended me a lot tonight, so just keep going. You're doing fine.
That is totally wrong. It's not cool at all. That is like 100%, you know, to like the 12th hour, very, very wrong if that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally disagree with that.
Music Maven.
Music Maven wants to know if the bouncer is over 300 pounds that's kicking these women out, because if
that's
so,
a good question.
That would be
very
interesting.
Good question.
So it reminds me of Southwest Airlines, you know, the way they kick off heavier people and make them pay double to go in.
Right.
So, yeah, I believe we should be healthy, but at the same time, the reason why people are losing their lives overseas is to keep us free and not to be treated this way anywhere. I mean, we you know, that's just wrong. You can't do that.
Thank you.
Because very unusual to just.
Yeah, that's I thought that was very, very, distasteful for the club, and I was like, man, everybody that will read this who's black, who patronizes it, will definitely say, the hell with it. I'm not going, especially women. I'm not going. Or you might have a herd of 300-pound women back
and
knock the door down.
You didn't have to use that term. You
now, that would be
herd.
Good.
I figured since I was offending you, I might as well go all the way.
What's the name of the club again? What is the name of the club again? So I can Facebook it
again
and Twitter.
Soho. Soho.
Soho. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Case number 5. A man has been arrested for breaking into 3 cars after police spotted him carrying a suspicious bag. He said it was filled with his former wife's sex toys. According to police, a 34-year-old man was seen by a Salem patrolman around 3 a.m. walking around with an empty bag. An hour later, police saw Conway with a full bag. Conway told the police he was carrying his former wife's sex toys. But inside, police said they found credit cards, an iPod, GPS, and a number of other items.
Those are sex toys?
No, that's what he said they were.
Oh, okay.
Conway interrupted his attorney at his arraignment to tell Salem District Court Judge Richard Morey he had a drug problem. So he has more than a drug problem.
Yeah,
got to go down is for guilty or keep it real for innocent. So is Conway going down for all this mayhem that he's created in Salem, Massachusetts? Music Maven. The Music Maven, she just like, I am disgusted tonight. You are disgusted tonight. I understand. But this is what was going on in Salem. Music Maven, is she there?
Oh, did she get dropped?
I think she got so offended she hung up.
DJ.
I'm going to remain offended, and I'm going to say that he's just got to go down. This is just, it's too bad, too sad.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
And then trying to throw himself on the mercy of the court by saying he has a drug problem.
Well, you know, he has problems, but I don't think drugs are his biggest problem.
You know, a whole lot of lying.
He's going
to share.
Yeah, total lack of responsibility. Not feeling it at all, you know. Nah. Yeah, he definitely has to get the gas face, as we would say back in the day.
Nah. Yeah, the real gas face.
Yeah.
Okay, we are on case number 6, which is the administrative pay cuts. And I know y'all heard about it. The Treasury Department ordered 7 big companies that haven't repaid their government bailout money to cut their top executives' average total compensation, salary, and bonuses in half. The judge got something to say about this. Starting in November, under the plan, cash salaries for the top 25 highest-paid executives will be limited in most cases to $500,000, and in most cases, perks will be capped at $25,000. Now, my question to the court is, do you agree with this? Should the government tell, you know, top executives how much money they should make? I'm going to go with DJ, since she's been offended, and we got Music Maven back.
Trying to keep the track record going.
Yeah, well, you know what? This time I'm not offended. I think that because they have shown that they are very irresponsible with our money, then at this point I think that somebody has to stand on them and say, you know what, this is it. This is where the money has to stop, because we're actually paying for it. It's costing us more for them to remain in the lifestyle in which they have allowed themselves to live through. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely fair.
Okay. Tashelle.
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely. I'm like this. You know, until they're able to pay the money back to the government, pay my money back. Do you know what my check looks like at the end of the month because of all the taxes they take out? And I'm a single person. I got no kids. I can't claim my cat. Heck yeah. Nah.
It sounds very personal there.
It's very personal. I'm offended.
Music Maven, you want me to repeat what I actually read?
No, I got it. I'm cool. I heard it. You know what? I think if you perform badly, like if you're on stage, people aren't going to pay you enough tips that night. If you provide poor service, people aren't going to pay you enough tips because of what you did. So I think that these people who drove the financial industry into the ground, I don't even know why they're getting a paycheck in the first place. I don't even know why they're still employed in the second place, because clearly there's something wrong. So the fact that, yeah, we gave them some money, then I think we do have the right, just like a bank has the right to tell you, you have to pay me by next week because I gave you this money, and now you have to pay me.
A loan is a loan is a loan.
Exactly. And, you know, and to reward yourself in that kind of greedy way, and even though it's been on the news so much, the audacity of these executives to continue to take is just horrifying.
Well,
so I guess I'm it got to go down.
They got to go down. They need to pay that money back.
They do.
That's case number 6. Case number 7. Woman lied in torture case. Now, I know you guys all remember this. Coming out of Columbus, Ohio, where the lady lives at now, a black Ohio woman who recanted allegations of being tortured by a group of white people in West Virginia has mental issues and has more than once changed her version of what happened, her current caretaker said Thursday. Valerie Daniels told the Associated Press that Megan Williams goes back and forth about the 2007 allegations of being beaten, raped, and tortured. Seven people pleaded guilty to charges in the case, and six of them are serving lengthy prison sentences. My question to the court is, since she's going back and forth, and she has a mental condition, take that in consideration. Should these charges be overturned, or the people pleaded guilty now? Take
I'm
that
confused
in
by that.
Yeah, it's very confusing. What is her mental condition?
They said her mental condition. She has mental issues. That's all they said.
Okay.
So she keeps going back and forth, saying that they did, and then it didn't happen. So, my question is, should the people that's in prison now serving time, should they be in jail? Because we don't know whether this lady was telling the complete truth. And also, I'm telling you that they all pleaded guilty to the charges. So I'm going to start with Music Maven.
Well, that's an interesting point. I thought the question was a good one where, you know, what kind of mental illness is it? Because that, I think, would. And I'm also a big fan of reasonable doubt. And
yeah.
So if there is reasonable doubt, we're supposed to honor that. And maybe it needs to go back to a jury. I'm not really all that familiar with the complexities of the legal system, but I would think, you know, given that there is reasonable doubt, that people should at least be let go. So, you know, get them out of there.
To show.
Wow. That's an interesting one. I'm just wondering, like, why would, you know, the people actually plead guilty, you know, if, let's say, she was wavering, you know, in her story, you know, so that's a very interesting one. You know, I'm like, wow, if they could, like, redo the case over or something like that, you know, but, wow, that's
they pleaded guilty, I think, so they wouldn't get a, you know, go through a whole trial and get a longer sentence. You know what I'm saying? And then they probably pleaded guilty again because they did do something wrong to this lady.
It seems like something happened, but the whole truth isn't there.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
DJ.
I agree. There is something very odd about this whole thing. For the most part, anytime somebody pleads guilty, they have to know that there's something in that story that may have a ring of truth to it. However, someone who has mental issues, obviously, that can't be the only thing you have your information based on. So it's just really, really confusing, and it's frightening that the legal system could move so swiftly that there wasn't anyone questioning her mental state from the beginning.
Okay. In the chat room, Jeff's brother said on case number 4, which was the one with Terry Woods and people not, you know, her overweight friends couldn't get in the club. He says, remember, Hooters won a case that they didn't have to hire men and only women with large breasts. This is a private club. So if it's a private club, then I guess they can do whatever they or whatever their rules are.
That's so crazy. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, I know.
And it's her friend.
Really, and it's just like the club down here in Georgia, the golfers club that didn't allow no blacks in there?
Right.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, clubs do set their own rules, and if you follow them, I mean, if you're going to go there, you got to follow the rules, and that's what it is.
Well, we've just seen a case just recently, I guess, where the children went to swim in the pool over the summer, and they said, you know, we don't want them here. And as soon as the people who were part of the club said, we don't want those kids in our pool, then they removed them. So I guess the truth is, if you own it, you make your own rules. And it's unfortunate that people are excluded, but we all know that every day you're excluded from something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's not new. It's not a new process. It's just that because when you're someone who is of some sort of fame or notoriety, it gets played more. You get more information about it. So I guess it just depends on who you are and if you have enough clout behind you to get a rule changed, a law changed, or if you're just a regular Joe on the street who, you know, you can't do anything about it but complain to your friends and say, well, we'll never go there again. Does that really change anything?
It don't.
I think it's good that the attention's brought to it, even though it's a negative thing. Having people be courageous enough to talk about it and say, look, this is what happened to me, and I want something done about it. And I think, you know, that's a great nonviolent, you know, way to deal with and pointing out, even with that that Justice of the Peace dude recently.
Right.
And he sat there saying, he said, I let black people in my house to use my bathroom.
Yeah, they use the bathroom. He's friendly with them. Why not?
But
I don't want to see him mixing with our people.
I swear. I just thought, I can't believe. But I just look at the age of the people, and I think, you know, the next 20 years are looking good. But, you know, we just got to get through these 20 years because the generation behind us has a completely different attitude in most cases.
Okay, and the court is going to take a break, and we're going to play a song by one of my friends. His name is Drew32. I met him when he was 14 years old at a music convention down here in Atlanta. He's a hip-hop artist, does his own music, does his own beats. He got a couple of videos out. You can Google Drew32, and you'll find either his website or his Twitter page, his Facebook page. You'll be able to find him. This guy's a senior now in high school, getting ready to graduate, performed in Greece several times. This is one of my cats, and the name of the song is Beyond Me. We will return to Night Court 6 with guests Tashelle Wilkes, Music Maven, and DJ in the house.
It's beyond me. Yeah, something I can't see.
Have you ever
seen
a girl that just blows you away?
It's beyond me.
Well, this song is dedicated to that special girl. You know who you are.
That makes me crazy.
Little cutie, you the hottest. The bomb is no doubts, no problems. Plus, I'm honest. So when I say you got it, damn, you got it. And I won't stop until you're my goddess. I'm a baller, I thought you knew. Come here, baby girl, you can be my boo. And I've never seen a girl quite like you. Look so good out of sight like you. I love your swag, I love your walk. I love your voice, baby, I love your talk. I love how you know that I'm into you. So you the type of girl I pay attention to. And I don't know what it is, but I love your style. At heart, you got something that makes me smile. And what it is, girl, I can't see. So I don't really know, that's beyond me. Yeah,
something I can't see.
Typical girl, so enter my mystical world. My life becomes fantasy when we're together. The life that they handed me,
feeling much better.
So how could I settle for less? You're a dime, shorty, I must confess. You're so fine, shorty, I'm so impressed. Beyond me, how we both just met. At first glance, I can tell you were real. You seem real fun and I wanted to chill. You're a girl that I can just kick it with. Cause you the type these dudes would all wish to get. So I'm interested, you notice. Girl, you're the hottest, I'm coldest. And what it is, girl, I can't see. So I don't really know, that's
beyond
me.
Yeah. Something I can't see.
Lately, baby, sometimes the daydream is just amazing. So every single place I go, I'm trying to keep your neck froze like an Eskimo. So it's just me and you and you and me. I wanna be with you, and I can't just see him at the club acting so stupidly. See, ain't no other dude do it quite like me. Yeah, I wanna get close, and you likewise. I like them curvy girls with the bright eyes, with the nice eyes, and a nice mind. And if I blink once, I'm
even if it looks twice. Got fashion, moving with a passion. When you're with me, my love's never lasting. This is how life's supposed to be. So why we're not together is beyond me. Yeah.
Something I can't see.
ATAZP.com is explosive, highlighting indie artists, banging louder than a bomb. DJ, producer, performer TAZ brings the questions for you and for me, because it's all about the indie, INDIE, as we're working and grinding, searching, seeking, and finding our way to endless shining. We're flowing, singing, rapping, blinging through our positive spirit and high morale. ATAZP.com, home of the devastating beat creator. ATAZP.com, home of the MC motivator. ATAZP.com, home of the indie artist invigorator. This is poet author Mark Lacey telling you to consume some now and save some for later. ATAZP.com.
That's my boy, Mark, who was at the house party about 3 weeks ago. We do an annual house party every year. And put it down, have different artists come through and perform and whatnot. Be in D.C. next year, and hopefully it'll be going down again Columbus Day weekend. We always set it out in October. He came through and performed a couple of cuts from his new book. Mark is a spoken word artist that goes around the country performing and actually doing book signings. We're back in the house on Night Court 6 with Shishelle Wilkes, Music Maven, and DJ.
Hey, what's up?
let me know y'all there.
Yeah, we're all here. We're here. Yeah, I want to say that I really love that track you played from Drew 32, and I also think that hip hop is going into a really nice direction. I like the musicality behind it. It's not just about the beats. It's about the actual talent that the artist has. So you can feel and hear, and it's a lot more visceral. So I was really glad you played.
I like Drew. I had Drew on the show several times. Like I said, Blog Talk's been out for about, I want to say three years. But I've been doing web radio for 7 or 8, and I was doing it on my website on atazp.com, which Mark so passionately kicked out. But I had been doing it on there, and I had him on there two or three times on my old show before. So I love Drew. Drew's a bad guy. And he does his own music, which is close to my heart because I do the same thing. Case number 8, which is about ACORN, Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. Two conservative activists released a new undercover video targeting the community organization group ACORN on Wednesday, an attempt to reignite a simmering political controversy surrounding the Democratic Learning Organization. The new videotape shows filmmakers Hannah Gill and James O'Keefe posing as a prostitute and her boyfriend, soliciting advice about a possible housing loan from the workers in the Philadelphia area of Office of ACORN Housing Corps. And O'Keefe says, at no point were we kicked out, at no time were we asked to leave. They said they lied about whether the two were kicked out of the office, because the Philadelphia office is claiming something else after they found out that they were a prostitute and he was basically her pimp. but they were getting information on how they could go about getting housing and purchasing houses. And they actually told them that it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you can prove you have a steady income coming in. You'll be accepted. So my question is, ACORN, which is, of course, Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, are they doing a little dirty dealing and don't care who the hell walked in there, even if they're, you know, the job is not really a job?
Wow, can I speak on that one first?
Go on, give it up.
Well, no, I have to say, I think it's very sad because I know this organization, you know, when it was pretty much almost founded because my mom used to be a part of the organization back in the 80s, and we knew the founder, so it seems like whoever they letting in now, you know what I'm saying, has some very dirty blood going on, you know what I'm saying, because back in the day it was really all about you know, the community, you know, and fighting for things that, you know, Brownsville, Brooklyn at the time that we really needed. So all these, like, new people coming in with, you know, with these the dirty laundry hanging out and stuff like that, it's like, I don't know, like, what's going on. It just seems like, you know, when good things are good, and then you let, like, you know, people come in and take over who they don't have, you know, the integrity, you know, as maybe the founder did, you know, it's just a sad situation, you know, so.
Yeah, very
I don't
sad.
Know. And, you know, the crazy thing, too, is that ACORN, they have two high schools as well, you know, in New York City. You know what I'm saying? So whatever's going on, they need to get those people out. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Music Maven.
Yeah, you know, I've worked with ACORN as well when I used to run a district of tax offices a few years back. And I really liked the way they were showing people how to balance their checkbooks. They were teaching life skills all over again. They were giving people, teaching them how to fill out job applications, showing them how to use computers. And this was in South Central LA. So it was really a vital part. I think there are pockets, it seems, where they either lack training or supervision. And I think it's terrible because it's dragging down a very good organization because of a handful of people that are either not trained or well supervised.
Real shady. DJ.
Well, we have to just think about it for a minute and realize that ACORN is also saying, you know, we knew this was a ruse, and so they're saying, you know, we matched what they did with something just as ridiculous. However, they still had some folks inside who made some bad choices and said some things that were inappropriate and offered some advice on how to hide money and things like that. So obviously there's always going to be, you know, bad apples in every bunch. You can have a wonderful organization and it just takes one person who is infested with something to, you know, automatically start breeding, and their infestation makes it grow. I mean, it grows. So, unfortunately, an organization that has a good base has some branches, you know, that are just completely rotten, and they need to cut them off and start over, clean this mess up.
That, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Mother Hill, you know, back in the day and all the wonderful work that she did, you know, with the crack-addicted babies. And then once she passed on and her daughter came on and just totally, you know, took it in the wrong direction, you know, laundering money and this and the third. So, yeah, it's like, you know, like we can know what the root of the organization is, but, you know, once someone else takes over it, you know, they may have a whole nother agenda in mind, you know, so it's a sad situation.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Just like the King Foundation down here in Atlanta. And now the kids are arguing over, you know, who's got control, and it's about really, basically it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about money,
anytime money is the ultimate goal, you're going to find there's going to be people that they don't care how they get it, And
it's the root of all evil.
Exactly. It's going to change the process. So just got to be really careful.
It's number nine. A woman was arrested and accused of taking her 23-year-old son along with her on trips to buy and sell heroin. Nancy Fulford pleaded not guilty Tuesday to charges of possession of heroin and distributing. Her son, Timothy Fulford, was charged with knowing where heroin was kept. Police said they found 10 individual package bags of the drug in the 46-year-old woman's bedroom. Question, do they need to go down? Do they both need to go down, mom and son?
Well, they definitely need some intervention. Something real bad is going on here.
Okay. So you say they need to go down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Music Maven.
Yeah, that's so sad. But yeah, they have to go down because, I don't know, it's just wrong.
Tashelle.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, even at 23, I know it's your mom's, come on, but still, you're a grown man, you can make your own decisions, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, I feel like this, you know, if he really wants, he could be like, yo, mom, you know, you're wrong about this type of thing. So obviously, you know, maybe, you know, he wanted some of the money too, but I just feel like, nah, you're 23 years old, you need to make responsible decisions. So yeah, definitely going down.
Yeah, should have just said,
it,
mom. I ain't doing it, mom.
Exactly.
Damn.
There you go.
Damn. I need gas for that. $200. Hey, I don't know now. You got me thinking. Got to go down. Case number 10. Parking space sparks $5 million battle. Kate Hadu, which of course is probably Oriental, 40 years old, said he was saving a parking space for a coworker and is suing driver Paul Todd, 38, for $5 million. Du told the newspaper that he saw the spot was about to open up on October 9th as he drove to his job at the restaurant. He told his manager about the space and stood in it and saved it for the coworker, who was a female.
Does this happen in New York?
I don't know. I don't have the exact.
It sounds like a New York story.
Todd pulled into the spot, pitching forward into Dude D, knocking him to the ground allegedly. Dude was treated for a broken foot and torn ligaments. Who is in trouble here? Who is in trouble? The guy blocking the space or the guy driving into the space?
Come on.
It's
parking spaces. You can't hold a parking space with your physical body. This is not man versus man. This is man versus machine. Are you seriously going to stand against a car?
And I'm going to tell you a story after we get through. DJ, so you're siding with the guy in the car?
Absolutely. Parking spaces are prime. You don't just, if you see it, go for it. Go for it.
Okay. Tashelle, since you figured this was in New York.
No, I have to say, I've seen this happen a couple of times. I mean, seriously, no lie. You know, you'll be driving up into a space, and all of a sudden somebody out of nowhere comes out, and they're, like, standing trying to hold the parking space. So, I mean, I totally feel like that's wrong, that, you know, you definitely can't hold, like, a parking space for people. You know what I'm saying? Even, like, when you're on the train, you know, people holding, like, spots for their friends and stuff like that. But, I'm not feeling that. Totally not feeling it. But it does sound like a New York story, though. Crazy. Yeah, that's just crazy. You know, people, when you keep a parking space out here, seriously, it's ridiculous.
Music Maven.
You know what? I think it's wrong to run somebody down for any reason.
That's what I thought. That's where I was at.
You know, I understand. I know how annoying it is to have people hold parking spaces. I used to live in the West Village, and people used to put trash cans out to hold their parking spaces. And here on the West Coast, when you go out to the beaches, you know, people get there early in the morning and they sit down in their little beach chairs holding three or four parking spaces. And I get really angry and I think about running them down. But I've never actually hit anyone for doing it. So, you know, I think the driver, you know, could have just found another parking space and wow. reported the person and, I don't know, try to fix it. I just can't see hitting someone. Like,
at least
yeah,
he
the guy, broke his foot.
Mm.
The guy that drove broke the guy's foot. Which I thought was wrong, and then tore some ligaments too.
Yeah.
I have a question. If a car is coming at you, and you see it inching up, and you say, "This guy's going to hit me," I'm just going to sit right here. I will not move because that car is not going to run. Okay, now they're on your foot, and you're saying, "Oh, that was a bad idea."
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying the guy was smart because he certainly wasn't the brightest bulb on the train.
I'm just saying it's a point you have to give.
So we got
a man in a car should have a brain too and say, "Let me not hit another human being because I could do serious damage."
So we're saying that the guy that was driving is right? Or?
I don't think anybody's
right.
That
is crazy.
Yeah,
there is no right
wrong.
Or wrong in this one.
Well, who's going to get the $5 million? Nobody?
I hope
you
nobody.
You know what? That's what I would say.
So.
Nobody should get it.
Exactly.
I think the guy should get money for his foot and, you
yeah,
know, whatever he had. But it doesn't cost $5 million for a pendant.
For a foot. There you go.
Yeah. He should, you know, whatever. But
I'm going to tell you a story. When I was down Fort Hood and we were at the park and down south, a lot of. Me being from Ohio, not really knowing this, the park was a hot thing to do on Sundays. Everybody go to the park in the Texas area, especially Texas when I was down there, and it'd be just like going to the club. Okay. So all these spaces are filled. I stood there holding the space for my boy who was in the crowd. I seen him driving. I said, "Yo, I got you, G, I got you." And I'm standing there. Some dude trying to inch up on me. I said, "Look here, cat. I'm telling you, you get close to my leg, I'm going to jump on your hood, and I'm going to tear your car up. So what you going to do?" And dude backed away because I yelled it right out. I told him, "Look, man, I'm going to jump on your hood. Now you make me jump back, I'm jumping forward on your hood. What are we going to do?" And I held the spot for a boy, and he came through.
How long
but,
did you hold the spot?
It took about 10 minutes for him to get there.
Oh, no.
So, on this one, neither is right.
No, of course not. Because, see, I've been on the other end of your standing in the parking space, you know, trying to pull in someplace, and mm-hmm. because it was raining, I've got a baby, I want to park, someone pulls out of a space, it's right up front, and the lady gets out of her car and stands in the space and says, "I'm waiting on my friend. Your friend isn't anywhere around. It's not like they're right behind me. I think that I have every right to that space, just like your friend who's not there does." And I said, "Lady, if you don't move, me and you are going to have a problem." And so she moved because clearly I wanted to park there, and it didn't belong to her. She had already secured her parking space. So you
well, good for you for not
else.
Running her down.
But I didn't hit her, but, you know, I made her think I
yeah.
would. I mean,
yeah.
The truth is, you know, sometimes you have to know. She knew that was wrong. She knew that what she was doing was wrong. And so she had to make a choice as well.
Yep.
Chase number 11. Man busted for being naked at his home.
Oh, the cooking guy?
A man was busted for indecent exposure after he was caught in the bus in his own home alone. Eric Williamson, 29, got up at 5:30 a.m. Monday and went to his kitchen to make some coffee. He was naked, but he was alone in the Springfield house, so he didn't think it mattered. Wrong.
Okay.
A woman and a 7-year-old boy were cutting through Williamson's front yard. From a nearby path. They saw him through his window. They saw Williamson having coffee in his birthday suit. The police showed up and arrested him.
Are you serious?
Williams said he had no idea anyone could see him. The police said they believe he wanted to be seen by the public. If convicted, Williamson could face 1 year in jail and a $2,000 fine. He plans to fight the charge. My question is, do you think Williamson should be charged? And another question on the side, do you ever walk around in your own house?
Of course.
I'm not saying a word about it.
I'm going with Chase to Shell on this one first.
That is crazy. That's the reason why you stay at home alone, so you can walk around naked. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I mean, was he living, like, on a crowded street or something? I mean, did he have, like, the curtains up? I mean, it's just really crazy to me, you know?
They said they could see through it, through his windows.
Okay,
I don't know.
In his yard? You said they cut through his yard.
They cut through his yard. Now, that's where they were wrong.
Yeah.
They cut through his yard. And he got arrested.
So maybe the lady really wanted to see. I don't know. That sounds crazy.
So do you think he should be charged?
I don't think so. I mean, that's. I feel like it's you in your house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I just feel like that's just, yeah.
So you're saying there are certain things in your
own
house?
I mean, in your own house you can't do? I mean, it's like, geez, come on. I mean, you can't. I mean, you know, let me tell you. I have an aunt who is 93 years old, okay? I was in Augusta, Georgia. We had a good conversation. She was like, look, she's 93 years old. She lives by herself. She can walk around the house naked. So if my aunt can walk around the house naked at 93, I was like, why not? Shoot. It's crazy.
And the sidebar question is, do you walk around the house naked?
Yeah.
Well, don't get caught. That's all I'm saying. Don't get caught. Because
you know,
they talk about he got a year in jail.
A year in jail for that? But I'm just wondering, like,
a year
I mean, was he standing
jail.
At the window? I mean, was he standing at the window with just drinking his coffee? Is this?
Was he doing something?
No.
Was it nakedness or was he just naked?
He was just naked drinking some coffee. He was just Adam. He was just Adam in his own house partaking of a liquid beverage.
What is this world coming to? You can't even walk around naked in your house. I mean, I guess
here's what I want to know. This woman and her son cut through his yard. Why are they being charged as being peeping Tom?
And trespassing.
Yeah.
Exactly. The dude was home. They're the ones that went up through his yard.
In the first place, I agree with you.
And they shouldn't have been peeking in a daggone window because people that do that are peeping Toms.
So in other words, this person should he shouldn't be charged.
Suing them.
Where did this take place at?
In Virginia.
Oh man, they're
kind
of
crazy over there too.
DJ,
I'm gonna name a state for you, and then you're gonna tell me what you think about it. I love the way you think.
DJ,
yes.
What do you think?
It will come on. I mean, seriously, if they had walked up on this man naked outside in his yard drinking coffee, I might be a little more offended because he needs to keep his naked. And then the first thing they would say is, you don't need to be outside naked. Okay, well, then go in the house. If the window's open and I'm in my house, so what? So the difference is, as long as he is in the confines of his own home, whatever he's doing in there is his business, unless it's illegal. And as far as I know, it is not illegal to be naked in your own home. Otherwise, how do we bathe?
Obviously, they ain't going to charge him because they felt that he knew that people could look in on.
So,
I
have a neighbor
if he was
that...
pleasuring himself, I would understand.
Exactly.
But when you're having a cup of coffee in your body, chairs under the table, and you're not really exposing yourself, I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it.
Well, what if yes, in the window, you know, in a full, you know, in the full picture window, drinking, making coffee? What, I mean, what difference does it make?
And that is, like, so crazy. I'm like, with all the stuff that's on TV, you know,
exactly.
MTV and BET and all this crazy stuff, you can't walk around naked in your own house drinking a cup of cappuccino. I mean, it just does not sound right. Where is this world coming
to? I'm going to tell you, I had a mobile home, and you... Now, I didn't know this until afterwards, but I had a mobile home, and I had a Kazelle, one of those exercise machines.
Uh-huh.
And I used to ride it with nothing on, right? The neighbor across the street, the white old lady, came and knocked on my door asking me for some sugar. And they ain't never bought no sugar since Lucy was on.
And
I'm like,
ride that Kazelle after I get through.
So during the day, I walked outside and looked through my own window just to see. And I'm like, if you really look real hard, you could see. You could see the outline of the exercise equipment I had in there, the TV and everything. I'm like, oh, Lord. You want to get the drinks in this piece. I got some sweat. I can't have it.
So did you give her the sugar?
I didn't have no sugar. No, I didn't have no sugar.
That's what you say now.
No, I didn't have no sugar. But
that's what. Yeah. Okay.
I guess we're gonna say this. I disagree too. I totally disagree. I don't think he was wrong, since the people cut through his yard.
I have one other question. What law did he break? What did they charge him with? Indecent exposure?
That's what it was.
In your house?
In your house. I would think that the person who was the police officer would say, you know, I really can't arrest him for this. So the question would be, you know, this is one of those moments where the police are supposed to be the ones with the cooler head, and they're supposed to say,
they're
okay,
saying that they're saying that he knew that somebody could look in and see him. So
I know somebody can look in my window, but I don't. I mean, I'm still in my house.
But they're not supposed to walk up to it and look in.
Y'all really got a problem with this, but
yeah.
I agree.
So
wholeheartedly.
That's like really crazy. I guess, you know, basically, if you want to kind of skinny dip in your pool, that's totally out the question, then, right?
Unless you got a stick around it, you can't do that either.
Right.
We'll be reading about that. Be another credit on that list. A long list. And so you were arrested for what? See it already. The last one, and everybody's heard about this, but I'm going to read just the first part of this. Long before his 6-year-old son became known as Balloon Boy, Richard Herney was urging kids to play in cardboard boxes, much like young Falcon was supposedly doing last Thursday when authorities feared for the boy's life. My question is, what is your opinion on this whole Balloon Boy story?
Okay, I need to go first. I just think that we're giving this way too much press. They're giving it way too much energy. And if you just stop someone like this who is a magnet and wants so bad to be famous, he will go away. But the more we keep the press mm-hmm. keeps going back to him, he's going to find another way to be thought about. He's going to find another way to be written about. This man has a disability. We were talking about earlier somebody with a disability. He has a disability. And I'm not sure if it's been recognized and if it's been written about, but he has a disability, and he's a what I would call a fame whore, and he's trying really hard to become famous, and he doesn't care how he does it. If it injures his children, if whatever it takes, he's going to be famous. So what a waste of life.
To show.
Yeah, it's just really, you know, sad that you have to use your own child as a pawn, you know, to try to get rich and famous. You know, I mean, it's like he's just stepping to the lowest, to the low, to the low. You know, that's totally not cool. You know, he gets the double gas face for that one. Not feeling it at all.
Music Maven.
Wait, I want to ask the question Tiselle usually asks. Where did this take place?
Oh, you're real funny.
What state was it?
I'm looking at the news clip now.
I know I heard about it on the news. I didn't really watch it because I thought that when I first heard it, I thought that's just a bunch of nonsense. There's no freaking way anybody could be on top of that balloon.
I'm looking. I don't know, but
that's okay. I just think similar to what my colleagues here are saying, and that is that he's just let it go. Stop talking about it. He wants fame. I don't know if he thinks he's getting fortune out of it or not, but he's a sick man. And to teach his children that is, I don't even think he should keep his kids.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was child abused in some form or another, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how are they growing up?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this concludes our Night Court 6. I'm going to read it off. With the Obama accepting the Nobel Peace Prize, we all agree he deserved this award. Yahoo lap dancers making wrong moves. Everybody, since it was a whole hop for women, totally said it was totally wrong. Tweet and eat. Good idea, with as long as it's done with good taste. The Terry Woods incident about suing the club. We said that it was offensive. Everyone was offended because they wasn't letting the 300-pound women in the club. Man claims stolen goods just as sex toys. We said got to go down. That was a dumb maneuver. Administration planned big pay cuts for the executives. We agree with that. We wholeheartedly agree with that. Acorn, real shady in Philadelphia office. And everybody sort of had dealings with Acorn on the panel. Son driving mom to make heroin deliveries. Got to go down again. Got to go down. Parking space sparks $5 million battle. Neither is right. We decided on that. Balloon boy has too much prep. And nude in his house. No, he should not go down because it's all right to be naked in your house. And
right.
And the woman who lied about the torture case, the whole truth is not there. We just don't know because it's not there. And one of the panel members said if there's a reasonable doubt, then people should be let go. I want to thank everyone that participated in Night Court 6, Tishelle Wilkes, also Music Maven, our guest host DJ. Music Maven, give out your information again so people can get in contact with you, website.
Yep, risingstarartist.com.
Cool. And to Tishelle Wilkes, give out your information one more time so the folks will know exactly where to go. Get your question.
Oh, okay. Femix.com, that's www.femmix.com. And pick up Amanda's Ray, Amazon.com.
Well, again, I thank you guys for being on. I'm going to play one more thing, and we're rolling out right after this. It's Book'em. That was the drink that my friend Ron Hill, who's also my label mate on my company label, ATAZP, he makes this drink for the people at the house party. And I think this is when me and my friend Sean on the previous show was talking about how Book'em affected him. Till next week, see y'all later.
So let's get into the let's talk about the Book'em, dog. The Book'em. Don't start. You didn't go there already. We still coming off that high with Ron and Gina L.
I'm coming off the high.
Ron and Gina L. makes this drink with grapefruit. All kind of whiskeys and all kind of devils, devil heads they toss.
Bells, no.
Back hairs. I don't know what they got, but they call it Book'em. Book'em.
And yo, I'm going to tell you,
The first time Sean drank it was at my wedding when we was getting married in South Carolina. And you was like, yo, he came in the room, closed the door real quick, sat on the edge of the bed. I said, what's up with you? He said, I see the devil.
I got to hear the Lord.
He said he seen the devil. I said, you seen the devil. He said, and he was serious,
oh,
too.
Oh, my yeah.
He was not even laughing. He was like, I really seen the devil, man. I seen the devil. Come on, dog.
Man, dog, I'm telling you, yo, when I came in that room and I sat down, I walked down that hall, and there was a long ass. Long haul.
Wait a minute. What you say? Long what?
I said long haul.
No. Beep. We always mess.
Wait a minute.
We 2:49 into the show. We always be early.
Oh, my stomach hurts.
We always be early with these beeps.
I didn't expect me to beep.
It's grass, not the other word.
Yeah,
okay.
Man. Man.
A long grass haul.
It was a long grass haul. And when I got down there to the I got there to the door, and I'm knocking on the door. And you weren't there to the door right away, neither. Because I was like, yo, T.
Man, I was asleep, dog. It was like 4 in the morning. You'd seen the devil at 4 in the morning.
I was
serious, too. Like, he was chasing you down the hallway.
I was at the door, man. I'm telling you. I was knocking on that door, and I was saying to myself, I got to get in the door. And you wouldn't answer the door. So I was, T. T. When I got to the door, I sat down on the bed. I'm looking around. And I just stopped, and I know that I had to take a deep breath. When I took a deep breath, I...
But, man, wait a minute now.
I had to take a deep breath.
You seen the devil for real?
Man, I'm telling you.
He was around the corner.
I don't know what happened.
What'd he say? Why are you drinking that booger? Why are you drinking that booger? I mean...
Nah. But it was like when I was walking, it's like, you know, you think someone's following you.
Yeah.
And I turn over, you look over your shoulder, and you see something.
And you kept seeing something.
That's what I kept seeing.
What happened the other day... When they made the boogum when they were down here, and you took it to your house.
It was like Kool-Aid.
No, I mean, you took it to your house, and you said your daughter woke you up early.
Oh, my goodness. No, she ain't wake me up, yo. I was upstairs, and I'm listening, you know, because I constantly got my ear open to what's going on in the house. But they were down there eating dinner.
Right.
And my wife, she had a... She had the bottle in her hand. She was like, all right, what y'all want to drink? He was like, I want some juice. And so the juice, it was in the cranberry jar.
Right, right.
So my daughter said, I want some. And I was like, what are they drinking? So I went downstairs. Bells, nah. Bro.
Like,
I went down there. I had to, man, they,
like
had,
the
they,
last
all, they all had cups.
It
all
was like
of
the last
them.
Supper.
It was the last supper.
Jim Jones.
You crazy, yo.
Jim Jones. All
was,
over again.
It was the last supper, bro.
5-9 in the cranberry.
Bro.
What did you say? You asked your wife.
What was she thinking? I said,
No. Well, she didn't know.
No, she ain't know.
Because it was in the cranberry juice
bottle.
But she said,
well, what is it? I said, won't you take a taste of it? And she took a taste, and it made her stomach turn, so she couldn't handle
you,
it.
You had me talking about all them little jokers would have been walking around talking about, I see the devil, Daddy.
All of them.
I see the devil.
I saw the same devil you saw, Daddy.